Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the one who is coming. Amen. I just noticed that there are 5 cushion pads up here. No one ever sits up here. So for a small price, I'd be happy to provide someone with a... It's one of those ironic things that even when we put the pads up front, nobody sits up here. That's fine. That's fine. So you sit on your hard benches out there. I love this text in Isaiah. It is a powerful vision of God's future for the world. And in it, in this almost incredible poetic prose, you hear of the history, a shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. The Messiah will come. And when the Messiah comes, the world will look different than it does now. Remember our text from last week. It said, when the Messiah comes, when the world is changed, our swords will be beat into plowshares and our spears into a different world. And now there's this talk about the wolf lying, living with the lamb, and the leopard lying down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. It is this powerful Advent message that we hear from Isaiah, that God is indeed loose in the world, and that the world is beginning to change with the coming of the Messiah, and that on God's holy mountain, nothing will come to harm. The problem with this text from Isaiah is that it just seems so idyllic that we sort of put it away as a fantasy, as something that could really never come to pass. And in fact, we begin to settle for second best. Well, it's just the way it is. And we live with the fact that justice does not reign among us, and that we are quite happy with our swords and our spears, but maybe someday a different bell will ring, and maybe someday the next generation will get it right. And we get comfortable. We get comfortable with violence and injustice, and we understand that Jesus is coming, but we sort of relegate that coming of Christ to the child in the manger. Isn't that nice? But listen to Isaiah. God is up to something powerful in this text. Something transformative. And it isn't something that's going to happen to someone else. It's happening already to you, to all of us. God is present now, doing this work of the Messiah in this place, in this moment, and in our history. God's call for justice and peace is valid now. And we've got to live it. It's not easy. It's really so much simpler to just let things be. Because we don't want to stir anybody up or make anybody uncomfortable, or you know, it's sort of like what's happening with our economy these days. We all know it's terrible things are happening, but we can't really do anything for the poor because then everybody would be poor, and we can't really stop the wars because something else might happen, and we can't do this and we can't do that, and we have a million excuses for why we can't bring justice and equity. And so we just sit paralyzed. What will it take? The early Christian community found itself paralyzed Paul, who came sometime just a little few years after Jesus' death, found himself in a Christian community that was beset on every side and convinced that God had come only for the people of Israel. And they were well established for that. Good scriptural evidence for it. And then Paul came and said, "Here is what I think. Here is what I am hearing God calling us to." Paul had the audacity to say to the early Christian community, "The Messiah has not come just for you. The Messiah has come for the Gentiles." Well, it doesn't seem very radical to us being Gentiles. Well, of course, God came for the Lutherans. But boy, for his time, it would be like someone saying, right there in the middle of America, in the most conservative part of our country, someone saying, "By the way, God came for the Muslims." What do you mean? You know, of course, us out in the middle of the Pacific where we're all nice and we don't have to ignore all that stuff, we go, yeah. But imagine in some of these really places where people are afraid and really worried, for you to come and say, "Yes, God came for you, for all of you, but God also came for the Muslims and is at work there." Well, that would scare the pants off some people. And that's what happened in Paul's time. And they tried to get rid of him for it, right? Oh, that idiot Paul. What does he know? God came for us. But with a word of grace, Paul said, "God's welcome is for everyone. And I charge you to that welcome, that Messiah of whom you are so fond, came not only to make your life better, but to bring justice to the poor, Jew and Gentile, to relieve the suffering of the widow, Jew and Gentile, to call into ministry Jew and Gentile alike." That root, that stump, that branch is truly that. You see, we like to think of ourselves so often as part of the one tree, right? One, this is us. And then God goes, "Prip!" Two branches, three branches, 100 branches. And it gnaws at our sensibility and our comfortability, our... "Ah, oh, it's so good to come into church and sit and be with people like me." And then they let the Gentiles in. The people who aren't like us. And Paul doesn't let us off the hook, and the Messiah doesn't let us off the hook. The Messiah says, "Welcome all of these children of mine." It's sometimes hard to see with that broad vision with which God sees. I remember when I was in high school, there was very popular, I'd never heard of grafting before, right? I'm not a botanist, I eat meat. I don't know, from plants. And one day I walked up and there was a tree, and on half the tree, there were lemons. And on the other half of the tree, there were limes. That seemed very strange to me. What was God up to? Lemons and limes on one tree? Jews and Gentiles in one church? Folks of every race and nation come together under God, under the Messiah, to do justice? That doesn't make any sense. But you see, God does graft us together and feeds us with love so that the work of the kingdom will be done. Begins, as Paul says, in welcome. The radical welcome of Christ, in which we see each other no matter what our color or our creed or our faith, as God's created child. It begins with the courage to do God's ministry in difficult times, to set ourselves out and our own, set aside our own comfortable lives for the sake of our neighbor. It may mean drawing our swords and laying them on the anvil, whatever that might be for us, our security, even our liturgy, even our very deep-seated beliefs, so that they can be pounded into plowshares and pruning hooks, so that the ground can be tilled, new seeds planted, roots run deep, shoots grow out and bear fruit. In the end, that's what the Messiah calls us to. Certainly to be rooted in the depth of Jesse, to branch out in the glory of God's kingdom, but to bear the fruit of God's love, so that that love can again be planted and planted and planted, so that God's justice and God's peace might be done. This is Advent. The Messiah is coming. The stump, the root of Jesse is on its way, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And you are the branch. Bear fruit. Amen.